Are you ready to perform at your highest potential? Welcome to the Performance Matters podcast from GP Strategies. In each episode, we'll interview industry experts, exploring best practices and innovative insights to help you and your organization improve performance. I'm your host, Jeremy Scheer. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My guest is Leah Clark, a leadership development marketer and thought leader at GP Strategies. Leah, welcome back.
Hey, nice to be here.
Okay, so this is episode 3 of our 5-episode series about leadership mindsets. In episode 1, we talked about the art and science of making a mindset shift. In episode 2, we talked about the growth mindset. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the inclusive mindset. So, Leah, how do you define this mindset?
Sure, this is a super important one. The inclusive mindset is all about the belief that contribution and performance are both unleashed in an inclusive environment. With this mindset, we see differences in how others think and behave as advantages to be leveraged.
Okay. So what does it look like to think more inclusively? Like, what are some ways to actually do that?
Yeah, this is very much about making that mental shift. And the first step in making a mental shift, and it's particularly important when we're talking about an inclusive mindset, is to become more aware of your current thinking, specifically to become more aware of your own unconscious bias. So that's about stopping and asking yourself, you know, why you're including certain individuals and why you might be excluding others. So becoming aware of unconscious bias is incredibly important. After you do that, it's about really thinking about a situation from someone else's point of view. So put yourself in their shoes. What do you see? What might you feel? I would say also, again, in terms of making that mental shift, start to consider the leader that you want to be. And ultimately, think about taking actions associated with or that aligns with your inclusive thinking. And we'll talk a little bit in a couple minutes about what those behaviors could be. But number 3 is certainly begin to think about the actions that would align with the kind of inclusive leader that you want to be. And then last but not least, and I think these are important, you know, start to use more inclusive language. Make a simple shift to use an expression like, hey guys, less often. And retrain your brain. So when you find yourself making a sort of stereotypical linkage, woman equals emotional, start to create a different association in your mind, woman equals strong. So there are things that you can start to do to make that mental shift.
Okay. Like, you know, hey guys, that's kind of a good one because it's such a common thing to say. And I mean, what would be the better alternative? Like, what's the more inclusive alternative to that?
Yeah, it's funny because that's one that I use, and I've noticed that I've used it on calls where there are all female colleagues. And I've stopped myself and said, well, certainly, hey guys is not appropriate here because there aren't any guys on the call. But I just think finding ways to, you know, use terminology that's more inclusive and, you know, doesn't confine you to a particular, you know, gender is a way of making people feel a little bit more welcome. So I'd say, you know, find something more inclusive to say or be more appropriate. If I'm on a call of all women, then hey guys certainly doesn't have a place in that context.
Right. Okay. So maybe it's like, okay, folks, if you want to be a little folksy about it, or okay, everybody, or something like that.
Yeah. It's just being more conscious, I think, of the word choice.
Right. So now, as you mentioned before, it's not just about your mindset, the way you think, but also the way you act and how you demonstrate that behavior. So what are some ways that leaders can do that?
Yeah. So again, I'll speak specifically to what our research found based on the leaders that we surveyed. So when we asked what do the best leaders do to demonstrate an inclusive mindset, what we heard was that the best inclusive leaders are effective at regularly inviting feedback from people who think, look, or behave differently from them. In fact, 43% of those surveyed said that this action was most important in exhibiting an inclusive mindset. And while they did say that recognizing their own unconscious bias and accounting for it was also important, that was the second most important factor, we took a lot of solace in the fact that, you know, leaders really valued actions first and foremost, associated with inviting that feedback. And I think that really speaks volumes about the need to certainly start with self-reflection, but then ultimately, you know, to go beyond that and manifest the behaviors that you want to see around inclusivity in yourself and then ultimately in your team.
Okay, that makes sense. So, and you know, in a way, this seems kind of like common sense, right? Like a lot of these growth mindsets and something that everybody would want to do. It's just a good thing to be more inclusive, but easier said than done. So what are some of the common obstacles to adopting an inclusive mindset?
Yeah, so what we heard, again, this is based on the respondents to our survey. What we heard was that seeking input from others, while it's the top action that a leader can take, they first need to readjust their own thinking. So they acknowledged, in fact, exactly what we're talking about, that the first thing I need to do, the first obstacle I need to overcome is my own unconscious bias, the need to readjust my own thinking. What we also heard was time and risk adversity. So what our leader said was, when time is of the essence, it's easier to fall back on familiar thoughts, people, and patterns of behavior. And so when faced with that obstacle of time and the need to get things done, what our leader said was this intentionality of inclusion really gets lost in favor of just choosing sameness and a sort of go-to person and go-to process.
Yeah, that's understandable, right? When you just don't have time, you'll fall back on what you already do or what you're already comfortable with. So, and time's always going to be a factor for this came up in the last episode about growth mindset. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact that nobody has enough time, especially a leader?
Yeah, and time with respect to this issue, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not entirely sure that time is an obstacle is the true obstacle here, or if it's masking perhaps a larger discomfort that some leaders have with addressing inclusive behaviors more head on. So I just want to put that out there as something that I'm not entirely sure it's a true obstacle or again, masking something. But either way, we want to move from a place of where we are perhaps unconscious of our lack of inclusion to a place of consciousness. So this is essentially the first shift again, or the first step in any mindset shift. I need to become aware of where I am in terms of my current mindset. So awareness is first. From there, we then need to make the choice to take conscious actions, actions to mitigate microaggressions, to have inclusive conversations, so that over time, acting inclusively should sort of increasingly become part of a leader's DNA. It's not an add-on thing. It's not something that takes up more time or something they need to check a box on. It's a core element of how they think and how they act. And just to be really clear on this point, I don't think that there is ever a point at which a leader should say, I've done it. I've reached nirvana. I am now enlightened and aware. It is something that we need to always be mindful of and constantly working on, I think, particularly when it comes to an inclusive mindset.
Okay. So, you know, again, I think most people would agree, like, yes, it's a good thing to be inclusive. That's just a good way to organize things and relate to people. But from a business perspective, in terms of its business value, what's at stake here? Why is it, in fact, so crucial for leaders to adopt this mindset and act it in their behaviors?
Yeah, I think there's some good information that we can draw upon, particularly with respect to answering that question. We know that building an inclusive environment has real business value. So I'm going to get a little sort of technical here in terms of some data that I want to share on this point. And that is really that studies by McKinsey, Gallup, Catalyst have demonstrated that companies in the top quartile for racial and ethnic diversity, as well as gender diversity, are more likely to have higher financial returns. And further research by Catalyst has demonstrated that inclusive teams have the best outcomes of all teams as it relates to longevity of team members, more productivity, and greater innovation. And that those who view themselves as included are 81% more likely to rate themselves as innovative versus those that are not included. So, you know, creating an environment where people feel included is incredibly important, where there's a sense of psychological safety, which is all about a willingness to share ideas, go out on a limb, and in sharing those ideas, know that you'll feel heard and valued. And really, not only does it make good business sense for many of the reasons that I shared, I think for many organizations and many individuals, it's also core to their values and what they stand for.
Okay. So in other words, if you're aligning with your employees' values and you're creating a space where everyone
feels more free, more confident to voice their opinion or put forth ideas, then that's good for business because you're going to have happier, more productive workers, and you're really getting more out of them than you otherwise might.
Yeah, absolutely. You're creating a space that they want to be in a space where, again, psychological safety and innovation can thrive and where they feel welcomed, you know, bringing not only their ideas, but their true selves, their whole selves to work.
Mm-hmm. And I would think, too, that if this becomes part of your brand or, you know, you gain a reputation, then you have a larger talent pool to select from when you're hiring new people.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not just about diversity and having diverse range of employees represented. It's also how they feel in that space, whether or not they feel included. And so that distinction between diversity and inclusion is incredibly important. It's more than, you know, simply having a diverse population. It's how they feel, how welcomed and invited they feel in that space that you've created.
Right. Okay. So what are the top two or three things that you want people to take away from this episode?
Yeah. So I would say with respect to mindset and inclusiveness, certainly a willingness to be open is a critical starting point. You need to, you know, become aware of your current point of view. In this case, what we often refer to as our own unconscious bias. The second thing is, to that openness point, you know, be willing to see things from a different perspective. This is incredibly important as it relates to inclusion. So put yourself in the shoes of someone who has a different gender, race, or preference than you. What does that feel like? And then third is that emphasis on action, right? To engage in inclusive conversations, to reach out to people who think, look, and behave differently from you. There's a lot at stake, I think, with respect to this mindset, not only as it relates to productivity, but as it relates to how we value each other as human beings. And so I think those are the top three things I would advocate for as takeaways here.
Okay. And I think it maybe goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, that doing these things is an ongoing practice, right? You can't just do it once or a little bit and then revert back to the old ways. This is something you always have to be constantly doing and thinking about.
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned earlier, you know, you're not going to reach that state of nirvana, and it would be dangerous for us to fool ourselves into thinking that we can or will. So this is something that certainly takes ongoing practice, both in terms of retraining our brain and watching our thoughts, as well as following up those thoughts with the consistent actions that demonstrate inclusive behavior.
Right. Okay, listeners, be sure to check out the other episodes in this series to learn more about making a mindset shift and about the hows and whys of adopting other leadership mindsets. Leah, thanks for sharing your thoughts and for another great conversation.
It's been great. Thanks, Jeremy.
The Performance Matters podcast is brought to you by GP Strategies. Together, we can create a world where business excellence makes possibilities achievable. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts and listen on our website at gpstrategies.com/podcasts.